This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you, Bob, and good morning, everyone. And if I could start by saying it's a great privilege to appear on a platform with Joyce. Many of you, particularly in the Northwest, will know the leadership role that Whig and Met have taken in relation to resettlement based on Hindley and in the Greater Manchester area. And I really pay tribute to the fact, Joyce, that you've been able, as a chief executive with all the demands on your time, to actually personally lead that. I think there's a huge model for all of us in the youth justice world arising from that, of in particular chief executives with, as I say, all the demands on their time, recognising the importance of youth justice to the total community that you represent and playing a role. So thank you for that. Bob, I'd like to add another image, if I might, to what may become an overpacked set of images. But it's an idea that we are knocking around within the Youth Justice Board at the moment about our role in relation to a couple of very tricky issues, one being the relationship between central and local government, and the other, the relationship between national policy and the front line. And in sense, both of those are issues about the relationship with local government and the place of local government in youth justice. And the image that we are using is one of a bridge, of the YJB as a bridge that attempts to make sense of central government to local government and local government to central government, and attempts to take the messages one to another for the ultimate benefit of the youngsters with whom we work and for safer communities and the like. And the same in relation to the link between policymakers and the front line. Tremendously important that there is clear, coherent strategic leadership on a national level, but also tremendously important that it isn't out of touch with the experience of the front line, again, because the ultimate benefits will be felt by the young people with whom we work and the communities with whom in whom they live. So there's an image there of particularly for the board, the Youth Justice Board, as a bridge between those two ends. From our perspective, local government is absolutely central to youth justice for the very simple reason that youth justice services are local government services to a very real degree. And at times, I think in its history, the YJB has behaved as though that were not the case, but it's a very clear view held within the board now that is the case, and that therefore what we need is, and I know it's a cliched phrase, but we need a really active partnership, tackling the issues that we've identified as being important. Public confidence and public engagement, which Francis talked very eloquently about yesterday. Issues to do with custody, and I suspect in the audience you will all know that it's the YJB's view that we wish to explore, in particular with local government, the potential for devolving in one form or another the costs, the budgets that we currently hold for secure accommodation, so as to contribute to what we see as being the total place movement within local government and within the local strategic partnerships, taking resources that are held centrally and thinking about whether there are other and better ways of using them locally to the benefit of local people. Also, resettlement is clearly a critical moment where youngsters coming out of custody are reunited to the totality of local services, not just youth offending services, but as you know, all know, accommodation, employment, mental health where appropriate, that range of services. And you just can't deliver thoroughgoing resettlement without having local government really actively engaged at the centre of a youth justice partnership. And then other things that Frances talked about. She talked about prevention and the forward agenda on prevention. I think that's one where we make common cause with local government to say we really do need a more secure settlement for the resources currently channeled through the YJB for prevention and early intervention in relation to youth justice. We will also, as Frances said earlier, we will be publishing towards the end of this year, the calendar, not calendar year, financial year, we'll be publishing a new version of Sustaining the Success, the guidance from the YJB to youth offending teams. And that's something we very much want to develop in partnership with YOTS, but also more broadly in partnership with local government to try to work out exactly how we can, as a Youth Justice Board, certainly challenge you about the place of youth offending teams within the plethora of local services, but also provide something which is helpful and which doesn't over-direct local government We're very, very clear that one of the great successes, perhaps the single greatest success of youth justice over the last 10 years, has been youth offending teams. And our view is that youth offending teams, adjusted for whatever the local circumstances and adjusted for the next 10 years, nevertheless need to be a central component part of youth justice services moving forward. But we're keen to update the guidance because the terrain has changed so much in the last 5 years. The creation of children's trusts, the development of local strategic partnerships really points to the need to think afresh about what it is helpful for the Youth Justice Board to pass to local government as our guidance. So those are some of the common issues that I think should come to populate this bridge that I've talked about, the bridge between central and local government. I want to just end, if I might, Bob, with a word about relationships and debate. It's tremendously important that we make common cause on the issues around which we're all agreed about. I think we, as a Youth Justice Board, do need to push local government as well. There will be performance issues, for example. It is unacceptable on occasion when performance falls below a level that we are all agreed we are seeking to achieve in relation to youth justice services. It would be unacceptable for the Youth Justice Board not to challenge and not to say something significant needs to be done to raise performance. Same would apply in relation to investment in youth justice services. So we have to, as a Youth Justice Board, reserve our right to push, to cajole, to challenge on performance issues. But at the heart, we believe that it's possible to have that sort of relationship in which there is robust debate, but also one where we do find common cause in the great majority of the issues with which we work with you. And that the leitmotif of that common cause has to be developing services for young people, for the communities in which they live, so that the spectre of youth crime, both in terms of the damage that it does to communities and the damage that it does to individuals, can be reduced.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John. Can I take this opportunity to welcome Colin? Colin Everett, who's the chief executive of the Flintshire County Council. We're going to ask Joyce to speak next, and then over to you. So, Joyce.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm really pleased to be here because obviously it's in the Northwest and local for me, though I didn't know that Southport were in the Championship League at the top there, you see, so my local knowledge isn't complete. It is a real pleasure to join you, and I want to actually start where John actually paid tribute to those of you who work within the youth offending teams. I mean, I've been a chief executive, not in Wigan, but in other places now for 14 years, and I have to say, the youth offending team, I've just met so many dedicated, committed staff. And I think that you have been determined to deliver for a part of our society who I think are the underdogs, yeah, the ones that get neglected, the ones about whom we don't give the time, the passion, and the understanding as a collective within the local authorities. But actually, I think I have a huge thank you to say to you for the work that you do and the leadership and commitment that you show. So really start with a very, very positive in terms of the track record of moving forward and evolving. I've also seen in that 14 years a real change in the relationship with the YJB, let me say, which is very much welcomed, because I think at the beginning it was not a fruitful dialogue about what the real issues were for us as we sat on the front line looking at what was happening for our communities and with our communities around the area. So all of that, I think, has moved on and moved on very positively. Nonetheless, and it is always the case, there are still huge challenges in the system for all of us. System, I think, part of which is the system itself, which I think also frustrates many of you in trying to do the things in a timely and effective way that actually will make a difference. So I want to pick up the strand of, you're a multi-agency team. You've been a strong example from the beginning of working across agencies. Yet actually, if you look at the title, we're saying enhancing local authorities' role. It's the community leadership role led by members that actually means working across agencies, not just public sector agencies, but also third sector and the private agencies that we are going to need if we are actually to harness the best and deliver for our communities as a whole some of the change that we want to still continue to see in this area of work. I've got three big themes, and then I will fall silent and answer questions. Prevention for me is hugely important. Been doing a lot of work on Total Place for Greater Manchester and Warrington because we're one of the 13 pilots. We are copying lots of the things of joining up that you have already done. But one of the big messages that's coming through in terms of the deep dive in Greater Manchester, which is around the 0-5s, is about that very early intervention. Actually to work with those families, and we know which families, the Think family, those who generation after generation, you know, I know, are going to be the families who will be using your services in the future. And actually part of the thinking around the 0-5s is, Sure Start has made a difference, but if we could all work harder, stronger and better at creating the right behaviours in the beginning, then actually we all as a society can and will gain. So a funny message in a way, but actually prevention in your terms, hugely important and within this area, but prevention even earlier, I think, is a really key message, but using a lot of the models and the way that you work in a multi-agency way. Our role with the community will and does need to change. There is no doubt about the pressures in terms of public sector money coming down the track and the real pressures associated with it. It's something where we have, over the years, created dependency upon public sector services. That's a dependency that we're not going to be able to sustain ongoing. So part of this and part of some of the fabulous things that people are doing around reparation, around actually tackling issues with and for the community, feel to me part of a central journey and part of a central challenge that we will need to actually address going forward. And it, you know, the old saying of it takes a village to raise a child, it becomes ever more true, ever more pertinent as we go back into a period where actually we won't be able to add on. We will be reviewing and reflecting and redesigning how we do things with our communities and for our communities. The third area is actually one of leadership. And here I just want to pay, actually I don't think it's my leadership in the Northwest. It's Ray Hill, who is the governor of Hindley Young People's Institute. And actually the YJB invited all of the AGMA chief execs and DCSs to go and visit Ray. And obviously we work with Ray closely in Wigan Council because it's within our borough boundaries. But he is inspirational. He is totally inspirational about, with a smile saying, yeah, my job's to keep them within the walls. But actually, these are young men. These are people about whom I care, as you care, and I want to work with them during the time that they're here. But actually, when we heard, you know, how long people are in custodial sentences, short as a day, as long as 3 years, depending what the nature of the crime is, but an average of 8 weeks. And actually, when you talk about what it feels like for the young person, it is a revolving door, isn't it? And actually, for some of the time, being there within Hindley has been one of the best experiences of their lives in terms of people actually giving them attention, feeding them well, talking to them, treating them as young people. And that has been Ray's central message to us about treat them as young men and look at what their needs are. And actually, inspired by him, we're doing a total leadership rather than a total place study, trying to look at, in terms of how we join up a system around the young people. We're getting people there to share their stories, and then actually we're going to reflect from all the organisations involved, what is our leadership role? How could we help? How can we actually both celebrate some of the successes in the system, but also challenge ourselves in terms of what our future leadership should be. So I'll stop after those three.
Thank you very much, Joyce. Mr. Cullen, over to you.
Thank you, and apologies for my late arrival, and good to see you, Joyce, an old friend. Thanks very much for the invitation. I think there's two reasons why I was invited to come. I'm the SOLIS, that's the Local Government Society, Welsh representative recently on our Youth Justice Committee in Wales. But secondly, Flintshire itself is a very high-performing local partnership of which we are very proud, and I don't claim any credit for. I've been in the job for 2 years and it was high-performing through, and I echo Joyce's sentiments, the innovation and the dedication of the people who lead that particular partnership. Last night I was at the North Wales Eastern Division Annual Awards for Bravery, Service Beyond the Call of Duty, and I was really pleased that last night one police officer was highly commended for his work in reparation. A really interesting story, and I could just see the faces in the audience that most people thought, I don't quite understand this role and this job, but I understand its importance and its complexity. And that's really the message I wanted to pick up on, and echoing some of Joyce's comments. Youth justice and the youth offending team, for me, in local government, is still one of the least understood areas of service. It still feels quite separate, however well you aim to integrate it. And I found it quite challenging recently when we had the All Wales feedback over the cyclical inspections of youth justice and youth offending performance, that the first thing that was raised by the inspectorate was the role of the chief executive in councils and their need to be aware, supportive, relatively expert, but to actually do things to support the service. Because for me, the agenda seems to have shifted, and again, I echo the comments about a very good partnership with the Youth Justice Board. The agenda for me has probably shifted more from perhaps being critical, if I can say that, about the justice system. In our case, the reconciliation between our recommendations around custody and performance of the court is actually very strong. For me, it's shifted more towards integration internally with services, particularly education and training, and some of the innovations that are required, for example, with Job Centre Plus. I also agree with Joyce about the need, and it sounds like a cliche, but the need for more emphasis on prevention. I was interested listening as Radio Wales disappeared off my radio signal in the car before I got stuck in traffic, coming up that today the Welsh Assembly Government is launching a new £12 million scheme called Engage, which is being piloted in West Wales, and I'm fascinated to learn how it works, and another point, how it might be mainstreamed if it's successful, particularly in its funding, and maybe the balance about funding for custody and funding for prevention. But the broad purpose, the broad objective of that particular initiative is to identify and support all those young people with perhaps the more classical symptoms of disengagement with school, poor attendance, and the sort of behaviours that we all know. Once young people are perhaps into that system, into that peer group, there's a high percentage of people in the youth custody system that replicate those behaviours. One other point I would make, really, I'm sure, and I'm not playing to the audience, well, perhaps I am, but my biggest concern is the fragility of the funding arrangements. I don't mean because of the funding climate particularly that we're in, although that rather brings it into sharp relief. It's the complicated nature of very short-termism funding and the degree to which partners choose to fund at a certain level. And I'm sure colleagues in the audience, if you looked across your respective partnerships, if you're a member of a local partnership, you'll see a large diversity in the funding pattern and the security of that funding across the piece. So I think I'll leave my comments there, because I'm sure you want ample chance for questions and discussion.
Well, thank you very much to all three. So we can open it up now. When you do ask a question, can you please state your name and your organization? And we can take two or three questions at a time. The stewards could wave when they have someone with a microphone. Number two, microphone, please.
It's on, yes. Mike Dixon, County Councillor for County Durham, about this relationship between central and local government, and the talk about devolving finances at this time. I get the feeling this is just trying to pass the buck. It's a way of trying to say, well, it's not our problem. It's up to your local authorities. Central government don't want to have the have to say, well, we're going to cut services. And it's going to put pressure on local authorities. And as a county councillor, of course, you're fighting for budgets for all sorts of things, schools, regeneration. And I will do my best to fight the corner for youth justice, but I'm afraid in the eyes of the public, sadly, they don't see the benefits, the core benefits of it. And I don't think we have the resources at a local level to be able to engage to that degree. So that's a problem. And what would happen, of course, is the rich counties would get the money and the poor counties, and it wouldn't be targeted at the areas which actually need it. Which leads me on to the second point about partnership, the need for partnership, because this is the most efficient way of working. But this has to go down to ward level. So far we've talked about area level. And at ward level, and go to be involved with a family in which you will have psychiatric workers, psychological, social workers, you can have youth justice intervention, you can have health, all dealing with one family. We need to get our act together, and involved in that must be your local members. So when you're talking about partnership, people on the ground have also got to involve the local members, because sometimes they're the only people who actually live in the patch. I know it may be popular, you get all sorts of councillors, as you no doubt know, but it's important if we're really going to address the partnership issue at a local level, that's the level we've got to be starting and looking at.
Thank you very much. Microphone number one, please.
Adrian Quinn from Bristol Youth Offending Team. Basically, a word of caution about the enthusiasm for transferring, if you like, the responsibility for youth justice to local authorities, in the sense that in three different areas now, I've had to spend a large part of my time, if you like, defending the Youth Offending Team partnership from the incursions of a local authority in some senses, because they do have a tendency to think that they're the most important and almost the only person, as it were, in that partnership. So I do think it's quite important to think about how you ensure both the, partly to echo what the last speaker said, but how you ensure that you maintain the resources that the YOP partnership has to have in order to deliver youth justice, as well as balancing that with, if you like, the needs of local areas and the needs of communities. I do think there's a balancing act there, and I think we're probably going too far the other way in terms of what seems to be the direction of travel at the moment.
Okay, thank you. Can we take one more question? Is there anyone at the top? Number two, microphone, please.
Hi, this is Penelope Gibbs from the Prison Reform Trust. If pressure were put on local authorities to take on the budget for youth custody, would you want the courts to be an integral partner in the local government performance framework?
Okay. I love those succinct questions that come straight at you. Good. Joyce, the question, the first question, around the role of central government in funding. As someone leading at the local level, what do you look for in central government?
I mean, I understand why the councillor is saying that he will take the flak from the community as the local representative if what he's given is a smaller budget to manage, not able to provide the services that were provided, and then he's the one who's taking the services away and cutting them, then actually it's the local councillor over and over again who will get the complaints, who will get the dissatisfaction from the public. So I completely understand where that comment is coming from. I think, therefore, I mean, linking almost with the last question, there have to be rules about how you approach the devolution of funding. And therefore, with the responsibility and accountability comes the funding, and that it comes in a fair manner, that you're able then to perform what is being required of you in terms of the delegated function. If those preconditions are there, as AGMA, the 10 authorities within Greater Manchester, we're very interested in our city region pilot at looking at the devolution of funding, because actually we feel that we understand and can talk about and can represent through the leaders and the councillors the needs of our communities better than someone trying to decide that from a distance. So you do need the prerequisites that you're talking about, but then in the end I think that we're for devolved funding that allows stronger local leadership.
Yeah, thanks. Colin, can I ask you to expand on the very local level, ward level, and the partnership there and the involvement of local members? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's, thanks for the question. It's quite a tough question. I'm not sure it is a ward issue. I actually think it's a county issue. I appreciate the tension when perhaps particular cases might be identified as being ward level, but I think it's actually much bigger than that. For me, the critical part is that some members, particularly senior members and executive and scrutiny chairs for this area, actually understand it. So if I may pick up on the funding, we have probably a lower level of concern in Wales, as Joyce knows from having worked in Wales, where with 22 councils, in fact, less youth justice partnerships than 22 working with the Assembly. We have more of a direct dialogue, so we tend not to be, if I can put it this way, dumped with initiatives, perhaps as easy as you are in England. But for me, there's something about this has to be hypothecated to an extent, and for me it's about what the local partnership chooses to invest against some gearing of government bespoke funding. My concern is if it was non-hypothecated, it was put in, for example, to complete local devolution for something that's so critical, it might get eaten away at a time of financial constraint.
All right, thank you. John, there are a couple of questions about devolution. One about the place of yachts within that. How do you protect them, the good work that's being done? Yeah. And a specific question about where are the courts in that?
Okay. On the question of almost the proposition that youth offending services and youth offending teams are not part of local government, and therefore there is a thing which is the local council services, particularly children's services, but others as well, and the yacht on the other hand. I know that's how it's felt on the ground in lots of places, and I have to say, when that is how it's experienced by your frontline workers, then we all, from a national level youth justice board, the leadership of yachts, chief executives, we're all failing. Because we're failing the kids who are being caught somewhere in the gaps between services. I do hear really often going around people saying, we just can't get access from children's services. And then I look at who is the nominated senior officer for youth offending services. 90% of the time, it's a director of children's services. And I'm not criticizing directors of children's services for their focus being in other areas. We all understand the pressures that they operate under. But actually, we do need to find a better way of positioning youth offending teams and local authority services. So there, we break down to the best possible ability, the us and the them type, while at the same time, nevertheless, not losing sight of the fact there is something distinctive about yachts, there's something very distinctive about the yacht partnership and the management board of yachts, and the YJB has a role to make sure that that distinctive entity is sustained and retained within local authorities. Very difficult to get these things right. I spent 10 years on the other side of the fence trying to get it right. I know there aren't easy solutions, but we just have to try and avoid the us and them scenario, because we don't serve our children well if we do that. And on the issue of the place of in particular youth courts in terms of our performance framework, number one, I mean, Penelope knows the answers to this better than I do, but number one, there is the issue of judicial independence, and we tread at our peril into any areas of overstepping the mark in relation to that. And actually, anyone who studied the constitutional history of this country over 300 or 400 years would absolutely know why we need to celebrate judicial independence rather than to cut way across it. It is the fact, though, I believe, that local strategic partnerships, crime and disorder reduction partnerships, actually have the potential to really actively involve youth courts. There are lots of interrelationships already between the magistracy and locally elected councillors, and the place of the professional staff within courts, within the local partnerships, is a key one. We think, though, that a greater focus, and it doesn't have to be a focus around budgets, but a greater focus on what happens in courts outside of just the court system, so within the yacht, within the local authority generally, will actually change behaviours. And you know, we had a seminar yesterday where, amongst others, Leeds Youth Offending Team showcased their work over the last year in reducing numbers in custody. The thesis put to the Youth Justice Board often is, youth offending teams don't make decisions about whether youngsters go to custody or not. Technically, of course, that's absolutely right, but for anyone who wants to look at this in detail, look at the work that Leeds has done to reduce, across 1 year, the number of young people in custody at any one time in Leeds by 17, think about what that means in terms of the resources that might be available to be invested at other places in the youth justice system, either in terms of early intervention or in terms of making sure a full range of YRO-related services are available, or in terms of resettlement. Our current system doesn't unlock those resources. That 17 youngsters represents almost £2 million, but actually that's not available, and my view is it should be available to the youth offending team and to the wider partnership within Leeds, but it sits in the YJB's budgets. I don't think that's an acceptable case. Of course, the devolving of budgets is immensely difficult, and I completely understand why anyone looks at it and thinks, I think this is just cost shunting. That's not our agenda within the YJB. There may be other people, but it's certainly not our agenda. And the big thing here, I think, would be this. We don't think we could develop a workable system of devolving budgets without the active partnership of local authorities. We've said that from the very outset. That remains our position. And I think that is the best safeguard against the fear that it's just cost shunting.
Thank you very much. Let's take another round of questions. I apologize if I can't see very far back. We have microphone number 2.
Di Hart from National Children's Bureau. Isn't it difficult to have confidence in local authorities' commitment when they can't resolve the issue of who should pay for social workers in YOIs? It's only about 20-odd posts, and there's been wrangling across LGA and local government for the last year about who should pay for those posts, because the authorities that haven't got a YOI in their boundary have said that they don't want to pay for it, even though their young people are actually receiving that service.
Thank you. We like applause, it's okay. We have another question.
There's a question at the top.
Wait. I think we have one in the back. Is that microphone number 3?
John Dunn, East Sussex. At this time, do the panel feel that it's within the gift of children's services to work in partnership with YOT, given the national shortage of social workers and the dramatically rising caseloads that they're facing?
Okay, is there a last question before we turn to the panel? We have one down here. I think it's microphone number 2 again.
Thank you. I'm Charles Clark. I'm a Youth Justice Board member. I'm just interested in how important language is in talking about some of the things that you've been talking about. Looking up there at 3 local government people, I wonder, as a sort of a long-standing police officer, when you start to think that probably... What was it that Bernard said? A third of chief constables. A third would be interested in this agenda. A third would be sort of waiting to see. And a third would be probably more interested in just, you know, locking them up. I know that was fairly simple. But when we talk about local government, what do we mean by that? Because unless it is full partnership, and, you know, and you're so interested in your analysis of leadership, you know, are the police partly to that? Are you looking at what role they can play? Yeah. Because I think it's so important not to allow people to step to one side on this agenda. And any use of language that permits that will allow, you know, the third of the chief constables want to just wait and see or opt out to do so.
Thank you. We got a couple of questions around social workers. One specifically about why on earth can we not get commitment to the funding for social workers and the youth offending institutions? It's small beer in the greater scheme of things. And then a more general question about the youth justice and children's services partnerships and social work within that. So John and Colin, if you'd like to address that, and then Joyce, can I ask you the question of language and leadership and partnership?
But could I start with the issue of social workers in custody? Firstly, Youth Justice Board position is very clear on this. We believe it is absolutely essential that there are social workers working in all of our custodial establishments for all those very good reasons that the audience will fully appreciate in terms of safeguarding, in terms of meeting the needs of children. And that's not a criticism of the current establishments within custody, but we believe it complements and it makes custody a safer place, and that's a really important objective for us. So having said that, it is immensely disappointing to us as a board to see the current situation where social workers in custody is withering on the vine. The ADCS came up with what we thought was an immensely practical and sensible way of apportioning costs across local authorities. And as the questioner said, you know, the difficulty is local authorities didn't go ahead with that, and the funding wasn't forthcoming. So why is that? Let's be clear. It's not because local authorities are suddenly populated by hard-faced people who don't get the argument. It's because of the immense number of other pressures, both on children's services generally and on public expenditure and local authority budgets more specifically. There are no simple solutions to that, because the DCSF position would be that they too are under the same budget pressures that local authorities are, and therefore they don't have any spare cash. And I think, therefore, it calls for the YJB to take the high ground on this issue and say very publicly, and I'm happy to use this platform to say it, that actually this is a potentially disastrous position for us to exist, and to really ask both sides of the debate to come together afresh and look anew at the issue. And we are very happy to play our part in bringing people together. Of course, you'd expect me to say this, it is the sort of issue that were budgets devolved, there would be an opportunity to think afresh in terms of local priorities, whether this was a local priority for a local authority. But one way or another, forget that as a solution, there may be many others, but we believe it just needs to be fixed. And I think, you know, to steal someone else's words, we just have to do this. We just have to do it. And I think the same issue relates to the more general challenges on children's services that was implied in the second question. Again, you know, directors of children's services are not bad people. Children's services are not populated by bad people. We are all in this business for the same sorts of motivation, etc. And in the current economic climate, people are just under huge pressures in terms of where they pull back public expenditure, what have you. It calls for what can only be a local debate around priorities. But within that local debate, both the Youth Justice Board and youth offending teams need to assert very loudly and very clearly, with lots and lots of the evidence that we have on a daily basis, that the youngsters with whom we work in the youth offending system are children in need too. And simply because you attach the label offender to them, you don't actually in some way take away their entitlements for local authority children's services.
Colin, anything you'd like to add? We like it. Colin.
Sorry, you broke the applause. the second question, first, agree with the sentiment of the question. I can only speak from my current experience, where actually our head of children's services, Lai, manages the internal yacht team and is actually one of the strongest exponents for, I think, the values that many people in the audience would hold. And I'm not saying that's a replicable solution, but in our case, it's probably less of an issue. Going back to the first question, which is very challenging, I think there's two answers. Firstly, you've hit on the head the dilemma in many, many areas that will become into sharper focus with the financial climate that we're going into, which is central expectation, local choice. And I must say, I'm sure Joyce would share the view, I'm really, really concerned about the ability to which we can sustain the whole social services infrastructure and fabric. I'm concerned about it now. I'm more concerned looking at 3-5 years and the growing, perhaps, dependency, particularly in complex cases, increasing standards and expectations of inspectorates and government. It is not a sustainable position. And my direct answer to the question would be, if government, for example, through organisations like the Youth Justice Board, wants to be absolutely explicit about what it expects in certain areas, it has to prioritise itself, and it has to accept there will be deprioritisation elsewhere. Don't dump that as a total responsibility on local government. And please do not demonise local government for things that you think it should be doing but doesn't. I've been very open about saying I actually think youth justice services generally will struggle to be seen as a priority locally because they're not sufficiently understood. And I actually think, and with respect to the member colleague who asked a question earlier, I think often we don't help members understand the complexity of certain partnerships. So when we look at budget pressures, They're often the first port of call to consider for reductions. They're the last port of call to consider for priorities. So let's get real about some central expectations so that we don't dump responsibility on local government, because we have some major funding dilemmas. In our case, we'll be reducing our revenue budgets probably by 10% over 5 years. I can't exempt Youth Justice from that.
Joyce.
Those spending reductions will be across partnerships as well. So actually, at the heart of it, you were talking about language, but I think it's about values and outcomes as well, that actually we need to be talking about what do we really find important, what are our priorities, and I think you said it, local priorities. Yeah. And I mean, I've got to speak up for DCSs. I've got a fabulous DCS in Wigan, as well as a fabulous team who are here today. But, you know, there is huge pressure in the system. It's not about people being willful or ignoring, but there are some things that are in the very hard-to-do box. And actually, in the end, although we talk partnership, you've lived partnership, one of the big challenges ahead is how do you sustain meaningful partnerships that deliver joint outcomes, see the same sense of purpose, and unless we get the language right, we are not going to succeed. And we were doing something on the 0-5s, and we'd finished what we thought was a great meeting with the police and health and everybody there, and then quietly someone came up at the end and said, if you're going to talk to frontline staff, will you put in a translation service, please, for all the things that, you know, are just sort of initials to us that we lob around willy-nilly.
Thank you very much. Can you join me in thanking the panel for the first plenary?